Good to see you. Good to see everyone this morning. Present in this assembly, those who have joined us online, we thank you for taking the time to be with us. Thankful for Chris Armstead and his friend from Atlanta coming up here to see us. We are always glad when Chris can make it our way. Of course, he grew up in Northeast, and his mom and other relatives are still up this way, so he travels up here occasionally, and it's very uplifting. Thank you for being here. Rob, where is Rob? Oh, he's gone. He's already left, so Rob's already left the building. he was talking about daylight savings time, and what he said is all 100% true in terms of studies that they do in terms of how you feel. So this morning you're here with jet lag. Half of you are probably already half asleep, and maybe your mind's already wandering. And so we're just encouraging you to do the best you can, along with me, to stay focused. Now, I have to stay focused, right? If I don't stay focused, we're in big, big trouble this morning. But it's just another great day to be alive, to experience who we are and what we have in Jesus. And we've been talking about following him as he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there are so many ways we can do that and so many different ways we can think about it. A Christian author and speaker, Mary Sutherland, she speaks to a lot of ladies' groups all over the country. She's very popular. Talks about how they would try to emphasize with their young son, Jared, the importance of knowing his address, not only knowing his name, obviously, but knowing his address, knowing his phone number, so that whenever he got lost, he would be able to say where he lived if he got lost, right? Nobody wants to be lost, especially if you're a child. You want to say who your parents are, where you live. You want to know your phone number and that sort of thing. And so there were different ways they tried to get him to understand where he lived at his home in terms spatially in the neighborhood. And sometimes Mary's wife Dan would take Jared on a walk at night, and sometimes it would be after dark, like a before bedtime walk. And one time they were walking, went down some streets that they hadn't walked down, and Dan said to Jared, he said, "Do you know where you are?" And he said, "No, I don't know." And he said, Do you know how to get home?" And he said, "No, I don't know how to get home." Taking some turns that they hadn't taken before, so I guess he was just a little bit lost. And Dan says, kind of kiddingly to his son, "Well, son, it sounds like you're lost." To which his son said, "No, Dad, I'm not lost. I'm with you. I'm with you." So as long as that boy was with someone he knew where he was going and felt safe with him, that was fine with him. And so in a lot of ways, when we think about Jesus calling us and Jesus saying, "Follow me," and that's one of the meanings of the word disciple, we want to think in those terms. Sometimes we don't know where following Jesus may take us. And as we discussed last week, sometimes following Jesus can take us to some very hard and difficult places. I mean, it was Jesus, you remember from last week, who spoke to the crowds and said, "To the crowds, I want you to understand this. If you love mom or dad or father or brother more than me, you shouldn't follow me. If you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me, you're not a disciple of mine. If you're not willing to give up everything," and that's huge. So when we come to him, and we're all at different stages along that spectrum, ultimately our goal, our aim, every day from the beginning to the end, is to give everything to Jesus, to give Jesus our all. And in doing that, we aren't the losers, but sometimes there is a price to pay. You know, Jesus said in that passage last week, if you don't hate your own life using hyperbolic language, you can't follow me. In other words, following me, doing my will, being my disciple, following in my steps, is going to take you to places and help you experience life and life beyond life in a way that you can't even imagine. So it's all going to be worth it. It's like finding that pearl of great price that is said in that parable. And when that priceless pearl is found, and you know there is nothing better than that pearl, then you're willing to sell everything, give up everything you have, to have what is priceless, to have what is the greatest. But in that walk with Jesus, sometimes there is a cost. As I mentioned last week, as I mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer and the book that he wrote back in 1937, as things were growing in Germany with Nazism and the Third Reich, and he was calling the church to view things differently and not to ignore what was happening and to take discipleship seriously. He was a part of a group that was resisting Hitler, and ultimately he was arrested in 1943, and eventually he was hanged because he was accused of being an associate of a group of people who were trying to assassinate Hitler. Now this morning I'm not going to get into the theological implications of that as a disciple of Christ. He wasn't active in the plot. He knew about the plot, but he knew what Hitler was doing with the infanticide, the Holocaust, everything that was going on. He knew he just couldn't be passive. He felt called as a disciple of Jesus to go against the stream, to speak up for what he believed was right, even though there was ultimately a cost in his life. And so this whole idea of discipleship is so very important. It's so important that when Jesus was with those disciples and then that inner circle of disciples, the apostles, for a period of time, he is sharing some things with them in the book of John that are going to be those things that are most important to share, because he knows he's getting ready to die. And if you know you're on your deathbed and you can still speak and communicate and your family is gathered around you, what are you going to talk about? The news, the sports, and the weather? No, you're going to talk about those things that are most important, the most pressing things on your mind, the things that matter the most. So Jesus, in this discussion with these disciples, perhaps as they're going down the hill there on the Mount of Olives and they're headed toward the Garden of Gethsemane, maybe he sees a grapevine here or there. Now, in today's topography there, you're not going to see anything like that. The Garden of Gethsemane was a place where there were olive trees, and it was quite common to find olive trees around. But it wouldn't have been impossible as they were walking, as they left that upper room, to pass a branch of a vine of grapes, perhaps. Don't know. Don't know that for sure. But we do know it was important enough for Jesus to say to them, This is what you need to be about in your life. And I want you to understand and know that there is work for you to do, and I am calling you as my disciples. I have chosen you as my disciples to bear fruit. And he says it in all kinds of different ways. But just looking at a few of these verses, he says you will bear much fruit, that you bear much fruit, and by doing that you show you're my disciples. You will be showing that you are my disciples by the amount of fruit that you bear, by your much fruit. And this is what I've appointed you to do. This is important. I want you to understand this, because the fruit that you bear is going to be the fruit that lasts. So let me ask you a question. How are you doing in your fruit production? How fruitful are you? Where are you in terms of your growth in Jesus and the fruit in your life? Jesus said, by their fruits, you will what? Tell me. By their fruits, he's talking about fruit on a tree. By their fruits, you will what? Say it. You'll know them. You'll recognize them. And so what are people seeing in you? In this passage, he talks about love. He talks about obedience. He talks about joy. He talks about several things. But he talks about fruit. And he says, you're going to show others that you're my disciples if you bear fruit. And this is what I've called you to, bear fruit. I love the passage in the book of Colossians that really does help to give us a good definition of what fruit is. It says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. I want you, Paul says, to live a life worthy of God. I want you to live a life that reflects who God is, and I want you to do it in a way that it pleases God. So, in our lives, we want to please God. And in wanting to please God, we want to produce fruit. And a definition of that fruit, not a complete definition of that fruit, is the good that is done, the good we do, the good works, the positive things in our lives that give glory to God. It's kind of like, you remember when Jesus said, you're the light of the world. City that's set on a hill can't be hidden. It shows. And he says, because of that, because I want you, your light to shine in your life to others, to be seen by others, let your good works be done before men, not for their praise or their glory or anything like that, but let your good works be seen. Let them be evident so that they will glorify God in heaven. So it's by those good deeds, those fruits in our lives, that people will recognize us and they will see God working in us and see the fruit in our lives, and people will be drawn to God through us. In fact, Jesus says it here in this passage in John 15, by this God is glorified. By your fruit. Fruit can be anything that is positive in our lives that reflects the life of Jesus by the way we live. And so it can be a good deed. It can be us growing in a characteristic. It can be the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in the book of Galatians, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Are you full of faith? Gentleness? Self-control, good fruit. I really like what one author says about fruit and about fruit as it relates to the tastiness of our lives. Let me ask you this. What do you consider good food? What's good food? What's good food? Pizza! And it's good food to you, Chris, right? It's good to you because you like it. It tastes good. But so there are certain foods that if we ate them all the time and didn't practice some self-control, didn't practice some balance or discipline in our lives, it wouldn't be good for us, right? Correct? And so a neat thing about fruit is that not only is it good to us, most of us, in this picture of this fruit here, we could find something that would taste good to us, right? But the good thing about fruit, it's good for me, but it's also good to me. What I consider good, and there's this fried catfish and the hush puppies and the french fries here, and I know about 3/4 of you are probably saying, this looks better than that, okay, if you're honest. Thursday night, Jeannie and I decided to, and generally we eat healthy, but I just had a hankering on Thursday for fried catfish. So we had a conversation on Thursday. She's out. I said, if you don't mind, on the way home, stop at Kroger, pick up some catfish, and get some hush puppy mix. I'll make the coleslaw, and I just did the French fries in our hot air fryer. And by the way, sideline, if you don't have a hot air fryer, let me tell you how great they are. But that doesn't have anything to do with this, okay? So that's an aside. I admit it. But the neat thing about fruit is that not only is it good to us, but it's good for us. If to be the only thing that we eat, but it's good for us. And so when there is fruit in our lives, in terms of our influence upon others, we have fruit that is expressed in our lives and shown in our lives, and it's good to others, but it's also good for others. And so Jesus, in this passage, is making clear to them, this is what I want, and this is how you do it. I want you to be fruitful. So the first thing I want you to remember related to fruitfulness, and it's really the main point that Jesus makes here, and that is fruitfulness is personal. It's personal. And it flows from your relationship with Jesus. And I know some people are uncomfortable with even that kind of language, but that's what it is. Jesus is real. He lives in us through His Holy Spirit. We have a relationship with Him. And what we have experienced as children of God when we put our faith in Jesus and submitted ourselves to being baptized into Christ, something amazing happened in our lives. We were born again, born of the water and the Spirit. As Paul says, we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. We were born again, transformed, a new creation. The old passed away and the new came, and part of that was us coming into contact with, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit when we turn to Jesus. Not only were our sins forgiven, but we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have more next week to say about the Holy Spirit because I feel it's very important. I'll just tell you right now, an assignment for next week is read John 13, 14, 15 and 16 in preparation for next week, because I want to share more about the role of the Holy Spirit and how it relates to Jesus abiding in us. But that's what it says. Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in me. Remain in me. In me. Dwell with me. Stay connected to me. That's the source of ultimate source of growth and power and the production of fruit. Jesus says, apart from me, you can't do anything. So the bedrock power to produce growth and fruit is in the power of God, in Jesus Christ, in real presence in our lives. How many of you growing up, maybe those of you who are students right now, did something like this when you were in school or just as an experiment? There's going to be a fork here going down into a container, and this happens to be a pinto bean, and that pinto bean is placed into the dirt and you water it, and over time, look what happens, it begins to grow and the roots form, and then the plant is at the top, and then it continues, and it's like a science experiment, right, for us? But to me, it's a reminder of something that is within that seed. Something within that seed that is able to contact the soil, the nutrition, the light, the process of photosynthesis. You know, there's a scientific element to this, but still, it is a miracle that within that seed, there's that power to grow. It's programmed to do that. And I don't believe it's coincidental any more than the DNA that's within us is just coincidental. It's the seed of God's creation in us to make us who we are. And then when we experience the new birth, there is this growth that occurs in our lives that begins to produce fruit once we are born again and are connected to Jesus. And Jesus says, stay connected to me. And so the next video, let's go to the next video. And this video, it's a section of a vine, a grapevine. And as you see what happens here over time, this is time-lapse photography. That little bitty part of a flower becomes grapes, and those grapes grow, and then they go to full maturity and produce this right here, a grape. I pulled these out of the fridge last night, stuck them in this bag. Already tested one. That's really good. But what I also did yesterday is I bit into one of these babies and I found what was inside. And these are supposed to be seedless and they aren't completely, so let's take them back to Kroger and get a refund. But anyway, there were some seeds in some of these, tiny, tiny little things. And when you think about it, it's amazing just what happens when you place a seed in the soil, and from dirt. Think about it. It happens every day. We see it all the time, but I think sometimes we forget the miraculous wonder of life, even plant life. That contained within that seed is the program to do what it does. And so from basically what begins with a seed and dirt, and nutrition from dirt, and then the sunlight, and the process of photosynthesis, the plant grows, and then it produces fruit. So when you're eating a grape, I guess basically you're eating dirt, basically is the conclusion I've come to when you eat a grape. But somehow that dirt, does that amaze you? Think about it. But now think about it in terms of what God is trying to do in your life, in your heart, to produce fruit that glorifies Him. And Jesus says, if you're going to produce fruit, you have to stay connected to me, because as a branch on the vine, you're receiving the power and the ability to grow that fruit. And my Father, God the Father, He is the gardener. He's the vine dresser. He comes, and if there's a dead branch, He cuts it off. But if there's a good branch and it could grow more, He prunes it. There's a pruning process that Jesus talks about here. It's an amazing process, and I am struck by even what some scientists say even about the process of photosynthesis, which is the sunlight, the process of the sunlight and the chemical reaction, and you know, you have carbon dioxide and you have this production of proteins and sugars that causes the plant to grow and produce fruit. It is crazy, isn't it? Despite being discovered almost 300 years ago, photosynthesis still holds, listen to this, many unanswered questions for science, particularly the way that proteins organize themselves to convert sunlight into chemical energy and at the same time protect plants from too much sunlight. There's a lot they don't know, we don't know and understand even about plant life. But Jesus has, we have to live with Jesus, we have to stay connected to Jesus, we have to belong to Jesus, we have to be empowered by living in Jesus, and even Jesus Himself to the church at Laodicea, and now He's speaking to Christians. And they become self-sufficient and independent and arrogant and all of those things that they shouldn't be. And He says to them, He offers an invitation to them. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. I want you to think about this. Jesus is saying to these Christians who've pushed him away, who've neglected their relationship with him, open the door and let me in. The door of your heart. Let me sit down with you. Let me relate to you. Let me have a meal with you. Let me live in you. The first step in fruit production is understanding that it is founded upon a real living relationship with Jesus Christ through our faith in Him and Him working through us. That's where we have to begin. But secondly, we've got to be proactive and not passive in how we approach it. Sometimes we might get a little bit mixed up, mixing up metaphors. Because basically, what does a branch do? What does a branch do? It just sits there, right, and grows. A branch doesn't do anything, does it? It's just there, right? And maybe it's pruned. But this is where the metaphor with the vine and the branches and us being branches on the vine and staying connected to Jesus, you know, it breaks down in parts because Jesus makes it absolutely clear in this text that there is a partnership, a cooperation process that we are involved in this relationship that is proactive and it is engaged in doing something. So just some of the words that you'll see in the text here, remain. If you're a disciple, He will bear. If my words remain in you, there's something that we do for God's words to remain in us. Ask. Show yourselves. Remain in my love. That involves a choice. That involves something that we do. If you obey, and then love each other. We are not called to be passive. We are called to be active and engaged in that process. And part of that process is just knowing where we are, being willing to step back and ask ourselves what we need to do to take those steps, to do those things that He's talking about here in order to produce more fruit. We do have a say in it. And in many times it involves a decision. It involves a decision, it involves starting, it involves setting goals, it involves doing something and then taking a step and acting. Let me ask you this, let's go to the next slide. How many of you this morning woke up on time because you set your alarm clock, if you used an alarm clock last night before you went to bed? Raise your hand, I'm curious. Okay, and the goal you had was that you wanted to get up in time to be at services this morning or Bible classes, service, whatever that case may be. You made the decision last night to do that, and it caused you to do something to accomplish that goal. And sometimes those things related to spiritual things are mundane. I love the speech given by Admiral William McRaven. I don't have much time to talk about it this morning. I encourage you to go online. It was in 2014 down at the University of Texas. But the point he made is the first thing you need to do in the morning, the 10 things you need to do to succeed in life, and he was a Navy SEAL and went through a lot of training and a lot of discipline. He says the first thing you do in the morning is make your bed. Make your bed. And some of the people listening to that speech, they kind of giggled. And he said, I know, it sounds a little ridiculous. But he says, we had to get up as Navy SEALs in the morning, make our beds, make them a certain way. And then they were inspected and they had to be done this way. But he said, at least I got up and I did something every day consistently that was a task I completed so that I could build and have other tasks to build upon that, because the big things are built upon the smaller things, and it involves discipline. The word disciple is connected to the idea of discipline. Making a decision, making a plan, being a student, being a pupil, following the steps, and being disciplined in our lives, and that involves a choice. How many of you took typing in high school or junior high? Raise your hand. I tell you, that's one of the best classes I ever took. But I didn't get to where I am in my typing because in one day, I just learned it just like that. It took time. The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog, right? Every letter in the alphabet, we typed it over and over and over and over again, and we'd have tests, and there would be pressure and stress. But I tell you what, once word processors came into effect and I began using them in my work in ministry, I was grateful I took typing. And I can type pretty fast. But when I got back into it, it was amazing that I was able to pick up on it from a class that I took years before. And so the same kind of discipline can be applied in these spiritual disciplines that Jesus is talking about here, talking about growing in the Word. Some of you have made the decision to start coming to Bible class. That's a decision you made based on what's best for you and your family, what's best for your spiritual growth. But that, if you hadn't been doing it before, that took a decision and it took a plan, right? Those of you, and I recommend this to every Christian, you begin the day in the Word of God. Even if it's just a verse. There are ways, there are steps you can take to do that. There are apps that can help you do that. And those apps will encourage you. If you've read a verse or read a devotional 7 straight days, that app will tell you, good job, you've read 7 days in a row. What about prayer? Jesus talks about praying in this passage, and he says if you are surrounding yourself in the Word of God and immersing yourself in my words, you can ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. Not, God, I want $1 million, or God, I want to go to, you know, Hawaii next year. Maybe that's in God's will for you, but I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's about those things that matter the most. And Jesus says, ask and it will be done for you. I want to be a better disciple. I want to know your will better, God. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. God, help me to be a better son or mother to my children. God, I ask you, help me reach my neighbor next door with the gospel. The list could go on and on and on. And Jesus says, when we immerse ourselves in this disciplined... If that didn't wake you up, nothing did, right? If we immerse ourselves in that, God's going to keep his promises. And will produce fruit in our lives. I've chosen you to bear fruit. Week after next, we're going to talk about how that relates to our relationship with each other. 2 weeks from now. Because Jesus says in here about being a disciple, this is how you're a disciple. I want you to love one another as I've loved you. And we'll put some meat on those bones in 2 weeks. But coming to a close right now, let me quickly look at my last point, which is this. It's a process. It's measured in progress, not perfection. And what I'm asking you to do, none of us to do, is start comparing ourselves to what we may envision as super brother or super sister in Christ. And getting discouraged because maybe we're not where they are in their walk in Jesus. And the point is, we measure ourselves against the standard of Jesus, and all of us fall short of that. And all of us are making progress, so none of us have arrived. So don't get caught up in comparing yourself with somebody else. But maybe the time has come for you to step up and stretch a little bit, and in your discipleship process, maybe it is time for you to explore teaching. You've never done that before. Maybe it scares you a little bit. But maybe you're ready for that or something else. But don't compare yourself to others. And this is the bottom line question. Are you making progress? And do you want to be more fruitful? Do you want to be more fruitful? And if you want to be more fruitful, you can be more fruitful in your life. If you remember, first of all, that it's about a personal relationship and connection to Jesus. That it's about a proactive attitude and not a passive attitude, which means taking steps. And as you grow, remember that God's going to help you in that process. That it's a step-by-step process. There are grapevines that have been growing for 50 years that are producing the best grapes that have ever been produced on those vines. So God's still working on you. Encourage you to let us know. If you want to explore in any way anything that we ever talk about, call us, go to northeastchurch.com. We want to help you grow in your fruitfulness in Jesus. And we want to help you to love God more, grow deeper in the Lord, and then you share Him with others. God bless you.